Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Our minds are upon Jimmy Ray. She had a rough week this week, and she's tired. And so she's on Zoom, and looks like she's resting fairly comfortably, so we are thrilled about her. I wanted to say to Tim, we are slow learners. And the only way we get it, I don't know how many of you remember Nick Nichols. Nick Nichols taught us a lot about singing. He did not teach us how to read notes, but he sang songs over and over and over again until we learned the songs he wanted us to learn. And so while Tim may be singing solo, I would suggest him continue to lead a song like that so that we can learn it. And after we learn it, we may sound awful, but I'll tell you, it's great. The lady up here, I tell you, she came by the house one day and she was looking for the times that we meet and wanted to know if she could attend, and we are delighted that you're here today. So we thank you for being here. And we have two people from Santa Paula. Now that's a foreign land, but we are happy that they're here with us today. And I look forward to meeting you afterwards. I want to talk with you today about things that really count. And I think Trayvon did a marvelous job up here today. He understood what the scripture is about. I want us to focus in upon one verse, really. We're going to talk about all of them, but he says, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. When you think about that, Paul lost an awfully lot, but he gained a lot more. So I want to read again what was read to you in Philippians. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me, indeed is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision. For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he have whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching on the law of Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the new law, which is in the law, blameless. But now here's the key, and you watch it. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of the faith of God by faith. And that's Philippians 3:1-9. So we're going to be thinking this morning about the things that really count. Have you ever thought about that, things that really count? Getting a new car, does that really count? And getting a wife, does that really count? Now don't say no on that one. In verse 7 and 8, you'll notice that Paul is talking about the things that really count. Many people today and many churchgoers are spending time and energy and all of their time and energy on things that really do not count. 1,000 years from now, and 1,000,000 years from now, those things will not amount to anything. So we're looking to the future for something that is going to be lasting. I don't care what you think about in this world, it's not going to last. And you can build your hopes on all these things. And I was watching a movie the other night. I love movies. I was watching a movie the other night, and a man's wife died. And the man did not know how he could live anymore. The most precious thing to him was his wife. So today I want you to check up and see if you're living a life that counts. And particularly we're going to pay attention to what's called legalism. And legalism is not what many people think legalism is. They think legalism is demanding that you obey the scriptures. But legalism is taking you even further. And what it does is you think that you are saved because you keep so many commandments. You think that you're saved because you think, wow, I've got it right. And I judge everybody else by what I have understood. And that was really the problem in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, when they looked, they could see what God had said, but they did not see what God had meant. And therefore, the whole thing was worthless, which John was talking about this morning. The Apostle Paul had lived a life of legalism, and he had had enough of it. He finally figured out what was right, what God wanted. If you remember, the Lord Jesus Christ met him on the road to Damascus, and it was there that he was introduced to Jesus for the first time. Oh, he had heard about Jesus, but now Jesus is talking directly to him. And Paul asked the question, "Who are you, Lord?" And he said, "I am Jesus of Nazareth." And all of a sudden he realized that the very people he was persecuting was the very people that God had saved through Jesus. And he asked the question, "What must I do?" And he said, "Go into the town, and there it will be told you what to do." He went into the town and he was blind and he was praying and praying and praying. But I want you to notice he was lost. He believed in Jesus now. And it's evident that he had turned his life around as far as who he was going to obey. He just doesn't know who to obey, how to obey. He knows who to obey. And finally a man came that was sent to him, and he said, "Saul, why are you sitting here? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins." And immediately he did that, and he had a new relationship with Jesus Christ. He was transformed in his obedience, and he was born again. And from that day forward, he is going to do something that is going to be shocking to everybody around that knew Paul. He is going to teach against legalism. He's going to teach of how to obey and understand the Old Testament. And he's going to preach from the Old Testament. And what he's going to preach is not going to be liked by those that hear him. He's going to tell them the truth of what the scriptures mean. He is going to preach the letter of the law, or the spirit of the law, and not the letter of the law. So the first three verses begin with a warning. Beware of dogs. Have you ever read that on a gate somewhere? Beware of dog. Beware of dog. You better pay attention to that. And you've seen that sign. And he says, beware of dogs. And then he says, beware of evil workers. And then he says, beware of the concision. What's he talking about? Who are these dogs? He's talking about the legalists, the Judaizers, those that are insisting that people are going to have to obey the letter or the letter of the law, and those that are looking to living that in such a way that they earn their salvation. Those who are coming along after Paul would preach the gospel and they'd say, well, you're not just saved by believing in Jesus. You're not just saved by being obedient, by being baptized. You're only saved if you go through the circumcision that the Jews do. In other words, you have to become a Jew, which would be called a proselyte. And as a proselyte, then you would have the right to become a Christian. If somebody would have said on the day of Pentecost, I would like to obey the gospel, and he was a Gentile, I'm sure that Peter would have insisted, if the Lord hadn't stopped him, of telling that person that they would have to first become a Jew, that they would have to be converted to Judaism, and then they could be converted to Christianity. And they're saying you have to go through rituals. And these rituals are what are important. You've got to go through ceremonies. And Paul said, beware of dogs. And that's powerful language. The word here doesn't mean a little house pet. He's not talking about something that you pet. He's talking about a religious, vicious person that is going to condemn you for everything you do and whatever you do, no matter how you see the scripture. They are going to attack you in such a way to get you over to their thinking. Now remember, Judaism added a lot of things called the Talmud. And that Talmud was something that they came up with that it was revealed to them supposedly by God, and they made all of these rules. And those rules they intended for you to follow. So he's talking about these cruel, vicious, snapping, snarling, barking, biting, and filthy alley dogs. That's what the word is here. I want you to see that you can have people so religious and so mean that it's almost like looking the devil in the eye. So he said, you watch for dogs. That's how he characterized these religious teachers. Now, Paul was telling us that some of the meanest people in the world are in the world of religion. And whether you know it or not, brethren, sometimes we have people like that in the Church of Christ. They're looking for any way to attack you and to bring you down and to bring you to their way of thinking. As I've said to you before, one thing if I could teach above everything else, it would be that you think for yourself. Now, I don't mean you don't listen to other people, but I mean that we know how to look at the scripture. I liked what Trayvon said this morning, that he understood what this was about. And we need to understand what it's about. So beware. Don't think he's nice just because a person is religious. And that's the idea we get. People, when they come in here, what do they see? And especially to the parents, what do your children see after you leave this place? You know, Brother French preached a lesson this morning that he can't preach worth a dime. That goes into children. They start hearing those kind of things. And did you see that ungodly tie that Mason had on today? I want you to remember that it was a religious crowd that really crucified Jesus. And he's saying, don't be fooled by people that are religious. I think one of the greatest problems that we have in the world, in the religious world, is we look at the preacher as somebody that is really superb. In fact, when we stand at the back of the building, we say, oh, this is our preacher's wife. We don't say, this is the mechanic's wife. We don't say this is the electrician's wife. This is the preacher's wife. So don't get fooled by people performing religious things. They may act religious, but they're fierce. There's something guiding them inside that is, they think is scripture. But really, it's just pure meanness. Beware of the concision. The word concision means mutilators. They are mutilators of the flesh. They think that if you have your flesh mutilated, that that's okay. Do you remember what Paul said? We are the circumcision. Not of flesh. But we've been circumcised by taking off the old man of sin and putting Christ on. That circumcision, I'll tell you, hurt. When you get rid of the old man, that hurts because you're used to doing things your way and you want to do them your way. He's making a play on circumcision. They were the ones who were always preaching circumcision, circumcision, circumcision. You're an Israelite. You belong to Israel, and therefore you're going to heaven. God owes that to you. Does God owe us anything? Think about that. And he's saying this legalism can't save anyone. You know, Paul warned. What I've learned, and I hope you learn this morning or have learned, that religion does not save. You can say all day, I'm a member of the Church of Christ, or I'm a Baptist, or I'm a Methodist, or all of that. None of that saves you. And many people have the wrong idea. Religion doesn't save, a person does. Jesus Christ is the only one that can save you. We need to get that into our mind more than anything else. Do you realize that we've got a lot of religious folks that are lost? And that's a tragedy. That's a real tragedy to think about people there that are lost, that are going to church and maybe going to church with us. They have went through the motions. They went through the things that we call the rites. And they think they're saved. I'm going to tell you something that bothers me today. There's a term that's been going around for a long time. A born-again Christian. And I'm going to tell you something. Why is such a person a born-again Christian? There's no other kind. There's no other kind of Christian than a born-again Christian. I don't mind the term born-again Christian, but they use that in a way that they're not supposed to. Suppose I'm going to a dentist, and I say, what kind of a dentist are you? He says, well, I'm a tooth dentist. Well, but what other kind of a dentist? I'm just a tooth dentist. Well, I think that's the one that I want to operate on me. And Jewel just had her teeth taken out. Why not just say we're a Christian? I'm a Christian. I don't have to say I'm born again. Everybody should understand that you have to be born again to be a Christian. I don't mind saying born again Christian, because some people have the idea that you can be a Christian without being born again. And we need to correct them in that. So I know what people are saying is that you must be born again, but I think now we're getting the idea that a born-again Christian is a special edition. Maybe a guy with a little more spirit or something. Those guys over here, they're such Christians, you can see the halos around their head. But you can be as religious as you want. But if you're not born again, then you're not a Christian. It's just that simple. If you're not born again, you're not a Christian. You must be born again. So don't go away saying, Mason said we shouldn't say be born again. I'm just saying that's the way we use it is kind of stupid sometimes. So religion without Jesus Christ is a terrible thing. We say we ought not talk about other religions and all that. I want to tell you something. If somebody's poisoning the water, you ought to warn people. The Apostle Paul was religious. And he was religious and he was popular. So I'm just going to say this because I don't ever have time to finish what I'm starting. So some people say, well, don't start it then. Do you realize what Paul lost? I just want to talk with you for a minute. I want you to imagine his family. I don't know whether his parents were still alive when he wrote this or not. But he surely had some relatives. And one thing that the relatives thought was he was a betrayer. He had betrayed the very people that he had been raised with. He betrayed his mother and father. He betrayed everything that you can think of. And also, can you think how he would have been greeted by Christians? I wouldn't want him as a member here. He's been killing Christians. You remember Barnabas had to take and to the church in Acts, the 9th chapter. But all of the Jews that had respected Paul and said, if you want to really be a Jew, right there is the ideal person. He is the ideal person of what a Jew is. He lives it. He lives that very doctrine that he teaches. So much that he's going to get rid of all of those Christians that are following a robber or somebody like that. He is the worst kind of man that they follow. Do you remember what Jesus said to the religious leaders in Matthew 21? 31 to 32. He said, you know what? You see all these people out here? The harlots and the publicans are going to heaven before you. If that doesn't make you mad if you're a Jew, nothing will make you mad. Jesus hit them right between the eyes. Do you know what most people in America are? They're egomaniacs. says they're strutting their way to hell and thinking they're going to heaven. They're too good to be lost. I hear people all the time say, I am a good person. Jesus came down and said, there's none good but my Father which is in heaven. But I thought I was good. That's your thinking. That's not God's thinking. You're not going to get to heaven because you're good. You're not going to get to heaven because you think you're good. You're not going to get to heaven whether you think that I'm all right and it just doesn't matter. I heard somebody say not very long ago, when the Jehovah Witnesses came, they said, where are you going to be in eternity? And they said, in hell, goodbye. I asked somebody where they would be 20 years from now and said, in hell. That's horrible. They don't understand what it means to be born again, to have something, a new life come into you. And religious people sometimes find it very hard to win to the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's because they don't think they need to be. If I were sitting here talking with you today, I wonder how many would say, I think that I'm okay. Instead of saying, I know that I'm okay because I depend upon Jesus Christ alone. And upon, do we keep the commandments? Yes. Now I want you to get this. We are to keep the commandments, but that's not what saves you. We keep the commandments because we love the Lord. And if you don't love the Lord, it doesn't really matter what you do. Well, it matters in society, but it doesn't matter with God. We are only saved because we truly love God and because we depend upon His grace to save us. It's by grace we are saved, through our faith, which reaches to the grace of God. And when we reach to the grace of God, and I think that's what Paul did when he said, what must I do? And the man said, repent and be baptized to wash away your sins. When he said that, Paul said, if that's what the Lord wants, that's what I'm going to do. Was it because he did it, or is it because he reached the grace of God and the grace of God saved him, even though he used water for it to be accomplished to reach the blood of Christ? There's a lot of drunkards that's going to go before the people that think they're okay. Now, I'm not telling you to drink. But I want to get rid of this self-righteous idea. I am good. I'll tell you. We need to really talk about two things, and so I'm going to make this quick. The bankruptcy of the old man has to be accomplished. What do I mean by that? I mean that when we study the Bible, and this is what they did in the Old Testament, they studied and they learned the commands, and they said, I'm going to do the commands and all of that. They didn't understand that the Bible is exposing them for who they are. I remember Brother Downey many years ago. He had a husband and wife coming to church all the time. He was the preacher in Ventura. That was many years ago. And the man never obeyed the gospel. The woman had obeyed the gospel, and they were faithful in attendance. So one day, the Downies asked those people for dinner. And we were standing in the backyard, and the fellow, Brother Downey asked the fellow, said, Arthur, do you believe what I'm preaching is the truth? The fellow said, oh, yes, I do. He said, are you sure you believe what I preach is the truth? He said, absolutely. He said, well, why have you never obeyed the gospel? He said, because you said it was for sinners. You follow that? She didn't see that she was a sinner. By the way, he baptized the man that night. We need to recognize that we are bankrupt, that we have nowhere to go, that we can't be saved on our own. We need Jesus Christ. We need his grace, and we need that grace to get into heaven. And Paul had a lot of pride in all the things that he had done, but then he was ashamed of it. I'm skipping to the end. Paul, even when he was a sinner, said he was blameless, and he didn't mean that he was sinless. He meant that there was nothing no man could find against him. But then he said, you first have to count those things as garbage. My education, all of these things, they're good, but I count them as garbage compared to Christ. And to have Christ, it means that I'm going to have to really repent. It means that I'm really going to have to make a change. It means that I am going to have to dedicate my life to Christ. And I'm going to have to recognize that these things are just things. And that I need Jesus Christ more than anything else. My time is up. And we didn't even get started, and I hate that. It's because our song leader took too long. Are you a child of God? I mean, really, a child of God. Have you recognized how bad that you were or are? And are you willing to now say, you know what? I'm repenting. I'm going to let you guide me. I'm going to let you have the steering wheel. You're going to be the one that drives my decisions. And I'm going to confess before men the sweetest name that's ever been named. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. And confess that and be baptized for the remission of your sins. Because you believe in the Lord with all your heart. And you believe that in baptism that God connects you to the blood of Christ because you're baptized into his death. So won't you come while together we stand and sing.